And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all knowledge, in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of thy children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And as those four children, and as for those four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said that he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king Cyrus. You know, this is really an outstanding chapter when you just look at what happened. Here was a man, here was a person that was in I would say a bad situation. He was taken away from his home, from his family, from his parents, from his relatives, and put into a completely foreign environment. And then not only foreign environment, but he asked to do things that he did not want to do. He had conscience against, things that he was more than likely taught were wrong. So what does he do? You know, he's there by himself. He's not accountable to. The people that he's accountable to are all gone, but there he is, and we see a beautiful spirit in Daniel in the fact that he asks those that are responsible for his care to consider his ways. And I think it's very interesting, the words that are given to him. When he asked to, he says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Obviously, this was a portion that was intended for good. This was a portion that was actually a privilege to consume. And for most people, there's a saying that goes around, you are what you eat. And these people that are really promoting healthful diets, they say that you are what you eat. So if you eat junk food, then your brain can't operate right. And so this, I'm sure, was food that was intended to make these people do well and in their own way. But Daniel feared the Lord, and these things were not on his list of things to do, and so he requested that he be exempted from that. And it's interesting to see that the prince of the eunuchs said in verse 10, I fear my lord the king. And he knew that if he didn't carry out his responsibilities, that the king was going to, likely, his head was in danger. And that's what he said. That's pretty strong motivator, to fear the Lord your king. Is a pretty strong motivator to try to get these young men to do what he wanted them to do. But Daniel was also, he feared his Lord, the king. And that's where his motivation came from. And that is a powerful motivator as well. That's a powerful motivator. And in Proverbs, we have a lot of scriptures that talk about fear of the Lord. And Daniel had those better applied than I think almost anybody that I know. And he feared his Lord the King. And so he made a proposition. And he said, do this for me, and then you choose at the end of your days, at the end of this time, and deal with it according to your will. And that's a blessing that we have those words recorded from Daniel. Because Daniel depended on the truth to hold him up. He depended on truth, which he was confident in, that it could be tested. And at the end of those days, then there's a decision that could be made. But the most important thing was that Daniel had the fear of the Lord in his heart. And when that was a guiding force in his life, he didn't have to fear what was going to be the outcome of the king's this decision. He knew what was right. I was blessed by that verse that the intermediate class had this morning in Proverbs, and there's just a whole lot of them. I remember a number of years ago when I was maybe about 10 years old or 11 years old, Brother Joe Overholt came to spend the night with us. He often did that when he passed through the area. Anyhow, Dad asked him to lead out in devotions in the next morning, and he taught us this verse in Job 28:28, and I never forgot it. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And that's in Job. Well, the first part says, and unto man he said, and he had us say that part too. And unto man he said, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Well, the verse that was quoted this morning was that the fear of the Lord, there's just a lot of verses that talk about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I'd like to just read a few. Psalms 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And every one of these use that phrase, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34:11, we'll come to that soon. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:29, For they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. There's the opposite side. Proverbs 2:5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. 8:3. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. 15:16. The better is a little than with the fear of the Lord, than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor his humility. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Also in Proverbs 22, verse 4. There's so much there that is associated with the fear of the Lord. It just begs the question, exactly what is the fear of the Lord? I think it's actually can be narrowed down to two concepts. Seeing ourselves as God sees us is the second one. And the first one, seeing God who he really is. Seeing God who he is, and then seeing ourselves who we are in God's sight. And if those two things are in place, that's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It goes a long ways in getting things in the right order. There's only one place in the New Testament that this term, fear of the Lord, is used that I know of. In Acts 9:31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were multiplied. This was right after Paul's conversion and after he had persecuted the church and given them such harassment. It says, then had the churches rest and they were walking in the fear of the Lord. And I believe that the fear of the Lord is going to give churches rest today. You know, we have lots of troubling situations on different sides. But having the fear of the Lord, seeing God who he is and who we are, is going to bring a rest. It's going to bring a sense of direction. It's going to bring a peace that can't be had any other way. There's also a fear of the Lord that is a fear of judgment and a fear that comes from when we are doing wrong, and that is actually a right kind of fear as well. If we're not going to follow the Lord through the motivation of love, we better fear his judgment. But I believe it's Paul, that says that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. And if we have the right fear of the Lord, we don't have to fear, have a terror of his judgment if we are walking in his way. So, again, everything depends on having the right concept of God and the right concept of ourselves, seeing God who he is and following him in that fear, that reverential fear that motivates us to look for opportunities to be a witness for him. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Lord, as we pause before you, we want to thank you for your mercies on us again today. Thank you for your word and the direction that you've given us here. Thank you for men of old like Daniel who were faithful in their time. And Lord, we pray that you might help us to be faithful in our time as well. Bless thy word. Bless those that can't be here because of sickness or other reasons. Lord, we pray that you might grant them a blessing as well. We ask it in your name.